And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and streaming at WVLP.org. We're the weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of News Perspectives. I should be able to say that, News Perspectives Photography, alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Thank you, because maybe now I won't do that.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's all right. And, you know, it's live radio and live radio. We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our 2019 underwriters are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, and of course our landlord here, the beautiful historic building, Walt Breitinger. And if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building here in Valparaiso, call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. Thank you for your generous support. Thanks always to Greg Kovach, our station manager here.
Thank you, Greg.
Yes, we like to have him here all the time to guide us through the day, even though Esther's now sitting on the board engineering the show. Hey, by the way, if you're interested in being a guest on our show or telling us about your arts information, arts event, exhibit, or whatever, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. You can hear past shows, by the way, at breck.com/AOTA. That's BRECH.com/AOTA. And you hear past shows from our archive there.
Brilliant that you did that. Thank you.
Thank you. You also can hear our show again at 5 o'clock on Mondays and everything. And now we're going to start with the arts calendar in just a moment, but I'd like to remind everyone that, you know, broadcasting isn't always free, and we really look for your support, whether you're an individual or want to be an underwriter of a program, the station as a whole. You know, we look for community support, and that's ever so easy to do. Go to WVLP.org/support. We have underwriter levels at different levels. We'll mention you during the shows or throughout the broadcast day. So remember, WVLP.org/support. And we don't want you to just be a listener. We want you to be a supporter, because don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And we want you to feel good. Well, we'll start with the Porter County calendar and Valparaiso University Center for the Arts, Brower Museum. They continue through the end of this month, March 31st. They have Icons on Ammo Boxes. It's an exhibit by Sofia Altanova and Alexander Klemenko. Also in the museum is Line, Force, and Burn Rubber, an exhibit by Sarah Klemp and Olivia Petrides. And finally, the Art of Lynn Olson. So those are all at Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, or there's other museums. Ellen Firm Gallery, US 12 in Beverly Shores, still has the characters of Irene Brown. She's well-known as a docent at the Beverly Shores Depot. And they'll be going on through February to the end of March. Village Pines, the gallery there, Doris Myers exhibit. It opened on March 3rd. It's called Trees, Rocks, and Water, a Collection of Reflections. And that's at the Village Gallery. That's Pine Circle in Valparaiso. Chesterton Arts Center. The Duneland School Corporation will have in their gallery the Duneland School's 9 through 12 exhibit. I was at the opening. It's wonderful work. These students do remarkable things. They'll be going through March 13th, and then they'll switch to the K through 8 exhibit, and they'll go March 16th through March 30th, and they'll have an opening on March 20th. And of course, the Chesterton Arts Center is located just on 4th Street, just off of Broadway in Chesterton. You can see their Facebook page or go to chestertonart.com for more information. Art Barn, they are going to have their 2019 children's exhibit. They'll go on March 16th through April 27th. You can see what their kids have been doing both in class. They celebrate the art of kids going age 5 to 18. And they highlight the students that have been working on there throughout the year. You can always find out more information about what's going on, Art Barn, classes, and everything at artbarnindiana@gmail.com. Memorial Opera House. Well, this is the final weekend of Shrek the Musical. They extended it this weekend because originally they were going to close the previous weekend through March 10th. Shows are Friday, Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m. Go to their website. Tickets are $21 for adults, seniors, students, and military 18, and they do have group rates. You can find their information on the web, Memorial Opera House. And Duo Sequenza. This is the combination of Deborah Silvert, she's a flautist, and Paul Bauman, he's a classical guitarist. They have a whole series of concerts, and we'll announce them as we go through, but they begin on March 11th through April 18th, and the March 11th concert is at the Westchester Library. Details are on Facebook or at duosequenza.com. That's what we got going on in Porter County. What do we have going on in LaPorte County?
Yeah, LaPorte County's waking up. So Lubeznik Center for the Arts has the exhibit Nature Versus Everything, and that exhibit runs through June 8th, and it features 9 contemporary artists in a new environmentally minded exhibit that explores the perilous battle between humanity and the natural world. Also, there's a large-scale installation in the Susan Block Gallery on the second floor. It starts with an animated video of a charcoal-drawn landscape with its inhabitants and extends into 3 colorful dimensions, so the viewer becomes part of the art. Cabinet of Curiosities by Melissa Washburn is in the NIPSCO Education Studio. Then we go to Southern Shore Art Association, and their March exhibit is Old, New, and Renewed. And Larry, you have a few pieces in that,
don't you? About 6 of them, yes.
6? Wow. And that gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street, and it is open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m. Visit them on the web, southernshoreartassociation.com, or their Facebook page, Southern Shore Art Association. SFC Gallery will hold an artist appreciation night on Friday, March 15th from 5 to 8 p.m. The Thaddeus C. Gallery is located in downtown LaPorte, and its hours are Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 10 until 3 p.m. Their telephone, 219-326-8626. Or visit them on the web, thaddeusc.com. The phone number again, 219-326-8626. Bling Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street exhibits the work by Rick Lang and Suzanne Cohen Lang. Suzanne will have a piece in the exhibit opening at the Nest today for International Women's Day, which I'll talk about in a minute. And that's brand new work of hers. Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 South Franklin Street. Their exhibit is Threads of Life. And it opened and it's running through the end of March. And it has all to do with fibers, embroidery, quilting, many different types of threads of life. Nest located at 803 Franklin Street. We have some new artists in the gallery, so we have new jewelry and some new sculpture. Singing Sands Toastmasters meets every first and third week of the month. Their next date is March 18th. Friday, March 8th is International Women's Day, and we're going to have a celebration with a theme of positive visibility of women celebrating achievements, and that'll be an open house environment from 4 until 8 p.m., At 7 p.m., though, we're going to have 3 comedians, Kina Lenoff, Eunice Jarrett, and Liz Greenwood are coming at 7 p.m. to celebrate with us. Michelle Schaefer will be, she's a singer-songwriter. She'll have musical performances throughout the evening. Elise Carmani is a filmmaker, and she will be on our video that will be running for viewing. So this This gathering will include a women's art exhibit as well, educational activities, interactive art, and some international foods. So coming out Friday, March 8th. Sunday, March 17th, the Mindful Fiber Artists gather. And if you are a fiber artist, bring your project. If you're stuck on something, there's a lot of experience and talent there to talk you through whatever dilemma you might be having. March 23rd, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent.
Ta-da!
Yay! I know. I have his Pirate Ninja Zombie pin on right now.
Well,
so
you're really happening.
It's open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell. We're looking for magicians, dancers, filmmakers, actors, comedians, poets, storytellers, visual artists, animal trainers, any kind. Build a house of cards. We want to see it. So March 23rd at 7 p.m. Sign up is online at the Nest Michigan City. And
yeah, that's
there
it.
You go.
Well, now we'll move on to Lake County. And in fact, one just came in the email this morning, so I was able to catch it. 119th Street Artists are sponsoring their Under 18 Art Show. And it'll be running April 9th through May, and that's at the Cornerstone Gallery. They are accepting everything from artists of all ages up through 18. So mom and dad, if you have that special piece of art that your kid has done, you know, maybe it's time to submit it. There is no fee for submission. They will have a reception on April 13th from 9:30 till noon. And, of course, it's located on inside the Centier Bank. And what's nice about that gallery, it's open 6 days a week.
So
you can see that because go in the back of the bank and you can do your banking if you're a Centier customer. Anyway, you can find out information at 119streetartist.org. You can also get information from Caitlin at info119sa@gmail.com. That's info119sa@gmail.com. So if you have any kids art, that's what we do. South Shore Arts, well, they have their spring classes that are starting March 25th, and we had Micah last week, the education coordinator, in here and told us some of the details. The figure drawing class with Tom Terlimke, that's filling up very fast. That's going to just added. It's going to not be in the brochure. It's going to be Mondays from 6 to 8:30. Tom is a wonderful and creative artist, if you don't know him. I know, also know Linda, his wife, and the great, she was a former gallery manager at South Shore Arts. Bachman Gallery, Haunts, runs February 8th through April 21st, and they had the reception on March 3rd. I went to the reception. It's a wonderful exhibit. What they do is they explore... they call them guerrilla photographers, all these broken down buildings and things which are now being repurposed as gardens. Dennis Crane had a remarkable exhibit that he did where he showed a progression of the tearing down of the Star Plaza Theater and Twin Towers. And it, in some ways, it's very, very sad to see that happen. But he actually, it was kind of a photo retrospective of that. And
I can't wait to see that exhibit.
Oh, it's remarkable. Mm-hmm. So then that's there. In the atrium is James Wachowiak, and that's going to also be through March 24th. And he already had his reception on the same day. He's a Chicago-born artist, has current paintings, familiar forms and means of communication about day-to-day things. Toll Theater through March 17th, Lori Shimmer Carpenter. She's an oil artist doing Midwest Reflections, so you can go see Lori's work there. Cafe Fresco in Crown Point. Brianna Mihalovich, The Region at a Glimpse, and they'll be going through the end of April, April 28th. And, of course, at Artful Garden, which is the other location, their Southern Shore Arts. Kasia Sazanowski, Beyond the White Gardens, and they'll be going through April 27th. And she will have a reception March 30th. Studio 659, they have one through Saturday. They're accepting March 9th. They are accepting for their current exhibit, Worn Out, Worn In, Well Worn, Gently Used, and Handily Loving Exhausted. That's the name of the exhibit, by the way. So if you want, they will consider two pieces. For submission, things that have not been shown for the past 2 years at Studio 659. Members can submit for free. Non-members must join or pay a fee that's equivalent to the membership fee to exhibit there. Their information is found at studio659.org. That's studio659.org, or you can find them on Facebook. Miller Beach Arts and Creative District. We're just about ready to close out on March 10th, the Indie Wendy, A Love Story exhibit that was seen at South Shore Bachman Gallery. That's going to be ending March 10th, and then it's they also are appearing at Art House and Social Kitchen, but that will clear out, and they will now have starting March 15th Polaroids by Julie Schwartz. This is a new exhibit, and what she does is she takes Polaroids and actually physically, I guess, call mutilate them or do them to create the art. So it's not just click and post them. She actually physically manipulates them.
Plays with the emulsion.
Yeah, plays with the emulsion, yeah. Plays with them physically, folds them, does different things. That will be running through the starting on March 15th, and she'll have a reception later on. Opening reception are free to Republic. Again, Miller Beach Arts. It can be found on both Facebook, or you can find information on that or on the web. Area Artists Associations through April 24th in the Indiana Visitor Center, I-80, I-94. The Area Artists Association has a little over 60 pieces from 15 artists on display. And, of course, you can see it daily from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. there. They already had their reception. I have four pieces in the exhibit, by the way.
I love that space.
It's a beautiful mm-hmm. space. We had a lot of people. And finally, with the Best Art Exposure Gallery. This is a new gallery in Merrillville, and they are doing a Vibrant Life Color, It's Contrast. It's by Megan Latta, and they're having a reception on March 15th, 6 to 9 p.m. You can find out information about them by Best Art Exposure Gallery. They're on the web, but they're a new gallery. They're north side of Merrill, 5386 Broadway. It's in that old complex where there used to be the Maze store and things, but they just started up, and so they sent us their information. Southern Shore Arts Cooperative, commonly known as SLAC, have Indifference and Ecstasy, two sides of the same coin. They're still at the Wild Rose Brewery in Griffith. Dorothy Graydon is exhibiting three pieces, and they'll be going through April 20th. So it looks like that's all we have going on. Again, if you'd like to get your information on the show, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. We'd love to put your information
we
on
really
there.
We really would.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here for. So, and again, if you want to listen to us, if you can't hear us quite on the air on 103.1 FM, we are streaming live at wvlp.org, and you can hear us. And again, this show will be repeated on Monday at 5 p.m. And again, if you want to support us, wvlp.org/support. Well, today we have someone who I've known for a while. And we actually have a history both growing up in Highland. Our parents worked together at Illinois Bell Telephone. In fact, my mom worked there in the old days when you had to actually plug the phone in. I always used to tease her that Alexander personally hired her. But today we have Pete Doherty from Doherty Images. And we're glad to have him here today. And so, Pete, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always great to talk about photography and learn a lot about the arts and what's going on. I feel a little bit left behind not being in some of those exhibits you just mentioned, but I have been having my dunes photography shown in a number of those places over time, and it gets me, gets my juices going to get something planned for this coming year. So, but you know, thanks for having me on today.
Glad to have you. Well, let's talk a little about your growing up in Highland, where you went to school, where you went to college. And then talk about your actual career before you got into photography.
Sure. Well, you mentioned my father. Both my mom and dad came from Rockford, Illinois, and then through a series of promotions with Illinois Bell, we ended up moving to Arlington Heights in 1959, and then we moved to Highland in 1962. And at the time, Illinois Bell had Northwest Indiana as part of their collection, you know, what they serviced. I grew up in Highland at a young age. I think I moved there when I was about nine. And I was interested in photography even back then. We had the Brownie camera, and I learned how to use that. I always liked to be able to take pictures of things. My mom would collect postcards, as I recall, and she had a collection of those. And I just love viewing them to see the beautiful colors and different parts of the country. And I in my own mind, I said, when I get older, I want to take postcard pictures because these are cool and other people can see them. And that's all about what photography is being able to kind of capture something pretty cool and sharing it with your friends or your family or the world. And that was kind of the underlying thought behind going more professionally into that business. I went to high school at Bishop Knoll,
of course,
in Hammond. Met a lot of really cool people. I was pretty much I stayed out of the way in terms of not trying to get into trouble, just to get out of there because we had about 500 kids in the class.
Was there a good arts program? Were you able to pursue photography at that point?
Actually, they had some tremendous arts programs and theater, especially. They were just profound. They had a group, and I was not a part of that. I mean, I was kind of like a spectator and watched all this. They had a play called West Side Story back in 1968 and 69 that would just knock your socks off, and a lot of those performers went on to New York, and there was a group called Show Teens that was a collection of kids, a lot of kids from Knoll and some other places, but they went on European tours,
right?
Things like that, and a lot of those folks are my friends and still my friends, so I was mostly geared toward the business side of things. My brain is split. You know, it's kind of like that's why I went into marketing at the bank, because half of it's creative and half of it's technical. And my brothers and sisters are all financial wizards, and I have the capabilities to do that. You know, to figure numbers out. I don't find them that exciting. So that's kind of why I ended up, you know, at a bank for 32 years. I worked at Citizens as a marketing director. And I could use that creative side of my brain to kind of, you know, fulfill what I wanted to do. Although the numbers were important. You know, when you work at a bank, you got to get excited about, you know, earnings per share and earning a penny per share for the quarter to make the shareholders happy. But, you know.
So for you, was it like a Was it family influence going, oh, it's really nice that you're doing this photography, but you really need to do this? Did you have to make a choice?
I did. I was, again, at the bank. I had a number of management positions at Citizens, everything from loan officer when I started to branch manager or regional manager, and for 10 years I ran corporate marketing. And after that, I became more of a business development guy and had teams of originators, both on the business side and the mortgage side. Then actually in marketing when we had to hire in professional photographers from the outside to produce our annual reports, which are highly technical, but you also want to be highly visual.
Engaging. Yes.
So basically I took the opportunity. We had some guys out of Chicago that were doing all the professional photography, and they said, Pete, why don't you go ahead, because we were doing a lot of testimonial things within that annual report. So they asked me to go out, talk to the people that would be in the annual report. And it worked out really great because I had a chance to visit them both in either in a house or a business setting. And I ended up taking some test pictures.
Yeah,
and
excellent.
And the professional photographers, I gave it to them so they had an idea of what they were going to walk into. And they told me, they said, you really have some talent. Mm-hmm. You know, we could probably use these and save the assignment. But they wanted the money and did it anyway. But
of course.
But what I learned from that, and I'm glad they did do the professional photo shoot, because I was able to go on that and see exactly what they were doing.
Sure.
In terms of their position, the lighting, their equipment. And it really got me kind of excited to think about the prospect of at some point in time retiring and going into that kind of business. And yes, to answer your question, I did get a lot of support from my family.
That's good.
And other people in the profession, because everything is, you know, like building blocks. You need a lot of information from a lot of different sources, and the world of photography, I found a lot of good mentors. You know, Royce, mm-hmm. Etta Taylor in Crown Point, Larry Breckner,
and the check is in the mail, Pete.
Yeah, there you go. And I learned a lot from that, and then.
Because you frame beautifully, you know, like you can see a lot of pictures of the dunes, and there's like a handful where you go, oh, wow. And,
right.
And waiting for, like, especially clouds, you really, like, you just frame that so beautifully, like the whole atmosphere. You do that as well, Larry.
Well, thank you.
You. Where you just stop and and take a look at it.
Your check is in the mail also.
Yeah. they call that the photographer's eye, mm-hmm. and you probably have people have told you that as well. You've got a good eye for photography, and a lot of it is, I don't quite understand it other than yes, when you look at a scene, you compose it in your head even before you've set your eye up to your camera. You have an idea of how you want that to lay out,
right.
And you know, the dunes is my specialty. I do a lot of, you know, Indiana dunes, and I do a lot of Chicago lakefront, but I keep that always in mind in terms of composition. And when you're out there, people say, geez, you know, how do you get such a good shot? Well, you have to know where to be and when to
right.
be there. You have to kind of be a little bit of an expert on what's going on with the weather.
And light is key.
And light is key.
Light.
And a lot of times people say, well, I need a picture of, you know, of my building, and can you go out there and make it look like the rest of your pictures? So, well, you know, some of these spots I've been to at the dunes, I've been, you know, hundreds of times maybe, and maybe just one day it's going to just be perfect. And you don't know it. You don't know it until you get there. And sometimes it's kind of like I have friends that are fishermen, you know, and they brag about, you know, this big bravado thing about, yeah, I catch fish, you know, and I go out there throw. I said, it seems to me like the fish come to you, you know,
right,
you know, and not too much unsimilar to photography. When you're out at the dunes, say, I'm out there, and there's a lot of things moving, you know, you got your wind, you got the sun going down, you got clouds coming over. You got, maybe you have a light cloud filter coming over and changes the whole concept of what you're taking a picture of.
And so much of photography is serendipity, like you're
right.
saying.
Serendipity.
And you know what I tell people, they want advice on photography, and what I used to say is, imagine it as a print you're holding in your hand. Now, even with digital, I said, when you're composing a shot, and of course I'm thinking in the film era, when every push of the shutter was cost a dollar. You know, you ever think about that? But I said, think about what you're going to have here. You know, people get that thing up and they just kind of click. I said, think about the what you're going to have as a picture. And I that's the best advice I can give people. And I know people like my wife, who does photography also, she doesn't want to know anything about the technical part of it, which, you know, she has an incredible eye for composition. We go out shooting together, and sometimes she'll get things and say, oh, I didn't see that. What was that?
Right.
So, yeah, it's
you always have to be perceptive to what's going on in the environment. And I've been out there. I went out to the dunes on that real windy day we had a couple weeks ago. It was extremely windy, like 50 mile an hour plus winds, and it was kind of cloudy. It was very cloudy. And I said, well, I'll go get some neat, you know, pretty cool wave shots. I'll go to the high dunes in Central Beach and see what I can get. And it was cloudy the whole way through. And then while I was on top of one of the higher dunes, there was a sun break for about 20, 30 seconds. But I was in the right spot, and I got some really, really good pictures. And then the clouds came back, and I think they were back for the rest of the day. And at this time of the year, I mean, in the winter months, the sun is so low
right.
that you're probably not going to get a whole lot of good sun, especially on a cloudy day, you know, because it's coming at an angle. And but again, that's just a situation that I found myself in numerous times, that I am in the right spot at the right time in some cases. And it's things that I don't particularly go out looking for, but things that come to you. You know, yeah. You just have to be perspective well, of the things moving.
Speaking of serendipity, and this is like a question for both of you. So how do you travel? I mean, do you always have your camera with you for that moment? Is it right next to you in the car? Do you have to go into the trunk? I mean, I just wonder like the whole like, oh, here's the moment. Because, you know, you're driving and all of a sudden everything is perfect.
I always carry at least one of my good cameras with my walk around lens, which is a 28-200. So it's not my best lens,
right.
But I carry that in the car. Now I carry a flash because... So, yeah, I always have one. I actually bought some years ago another one to do, and I never use it. It's the Canon T1i or something like that. It's a little 15 megapixel.
Right.
You know, it's only a few hundred dollars. I don't know if it got stolen. But I really am reluctant to use it because I want to use the better camera. I want to use full frame, which I'm a big full frame photographer. So, yeah, I always keep at least one with me because you never know what you're going to come across.
Oh, it's
right.
So true.
Yeah, I use Canon equipment as well.
And that's why I like Pete.
Yeah, there we go. And for the most part, I would say up until a couple of years ago, you know, 100% of my dune scenes and Chicago lakefront scenes were all done with Canon camera, a larger Canon camera, 7D, and a wide-angle lens. I use the Canon's 10-22. Lens, and then a couple years ago, I ended up buying a smaller camera, a Sony A6000, I think it is.
Okay.
And it's a mirrorless camera, and it takes exceptionally good shots. But that's my go-to camera. That is relatively small, lightweight. I can put in my pocket. In a sense, it's a little bulky, but I can put it in my pocket, and that's what I keep in my car.
Have you ever had to resort to cell phone like all of us have to do, or are you always prepared?
Seldom, yeah. But I have.
I have, and actually some of the shots on cell phones, if the lighting is perfect, come out really good as well. I have, I've had a couple of pictures that I've sold and I have exhibited with a cell phone, but it's very rare. You know,
I think
right
our
now.
Next exhibit is ice formations taken with a cell phone. And he's pushing how far can he go without losing the integrity of the image.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, the megapixel capacity is much improved on cell phones. But again, there's restrictions in terms of depth of field and
right.
and lighting's got to be really
good. And the size of the sensor. People always say, oh, I have a 15 megapixel. I said, well, how big is your sensor? And what's the size of your little thumbnail? And
right.
Versus
right.
a full frame where it's everything. What a full frame is if you were shooting 35 millimeter film, it's a 36x24 millimeters. And so it's that rectangle that's big. And I didn't jump in the digital photography as far as a camera until the full frame, the 5D came out, the Canon 5D, with the first affordable full frame camera. Affordable
right.
was $3,600. But,
right.
but that was the full frame. And I like that because then there's no conversion factor with the lenses. So you've got lenses for years. So.
Right. But going back to that transition between banking and
Well, but tell us about college first.
College. Well, yeah. College was, I paid for my own college.
Oh, good for you. I kind of did that too.
Yeah. My resume reads like I was an altar boy, a paper boy, a lawn boy, a banker, and a photographer.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, and in the meantime, yeah, I did pay. We had a large family. And when it came time to go to college, I went to Calumet College. It was called St. Joseph's College at the time in East Chicago. It was before they moved to Whiting. So when I got out of Bishop Knoll, my folks said, well, if you're thinking about going to college, you better get down there and apply. So, I went down there, gave my $25, and I paid for my own college, 4 years of college. And I was working part-time for the cutting grass and stuff like that for the town. And so anyway, I got out of there in 4 years with a degree in economics and business management. So it did help me in my career getting a position with the bank, in numbers.
Numbers are important.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here. We're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP, and you can listen to us at WVLP.com and email us if you have a show or anything, artontheair@gmail.com. And again, we'd like to thank our sponsors, the Brower Museum and Walt Breininger here in the building. So let's go on, Pete. Our guest, by the way, is Pete Doherty, if you just tuned in.
Well, thank you. We were talking about college. I stayed local and ended up with a great career at Citizens Financial Bank. It was Citizens Federal Savings when I started there. And after about 32 years, the time came to think about maybe retiring. I didn't think I was going to do it that quick. I was 53 when the opportunity came along. And at the time, the board had a first-time-ever program benefit for any executive that wanted to retire early. So I was one of the first ones they talked to, and I said, well, this sounds pretty interesting, that that opportunity to do my own thing. They were kind of surprised I was seriously considering it. Of course, I had to go home and talk to my wife and had full support to do that. Growing up with a father who was pretty conservative and grew up during the Depression, he was pretty, tight on the money, and I learned a lot from that. You pay as you go and you never owe and that type of thing. And so I had the resources from savings and paying off. I had no home loan debt at the time when I retired, and all the college. We have two children, and we put them both through Purdue Lafayette, and we had no college debt. So I said, there's not going to be a better time to retire early, because I had a nice benefit package for leaving. Everybody was surprised. But I jumped off the high dive, and I figured I'd land somewhere soft. I didn't know. They call it a parachute. Here's your parachute.
Here you go.
So anyway, I landed soft. But my last day was March 31st of 2007. And lo and behold, that happened to be the first day of my first exhibit opening and reception at the South Shore Arts.
Wow.
I had the whole gallery. Not the gallery. I didn't have the whole gallery. I had the whole atrium.
Atrium, right.
Which is okay. It was
Atrium's actually a great place.
Yeah. And it was like 2 years before that, even when I was working at the bank, I was doing photography, scenic stuff.
Right.
And one day I ran into one of the gentlemen on the board at South Shore Arts, Myron.
Oh, yeah. Well, Myron's bought some of my photography, yeah.
I think Myron's passed on.
Oh, yeah, he had a long time ago.
Yeah, but Myron was a great, great gentleman, and I got to talking to him one day at a chamber meeting or something.
Right.
And he said, well, why don't you put together some of your stuff, and we'll take a look at it. Maybe we can, think about approving you for an exhibit. So I put a package together, and thanks to Myron, I put the package in, and they said, yeah, we're going to give you an exhibit in the atrium, but it'll be a couple of years maybe, a year and a half.
Sure.
So I was pleasantly surprised. And then it ended up, they told me that it would be March 31st of 2007. And I didn't know I was going to retire on that day. But I did. So I went from the bank March 31st. I walked out of the bank and walked over to the Performing Arts Building. And my reception was starting. I had 23 pieces. I sold 13.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
Because everybody was curious. I had 300 people that came to that exhibit, that wow. opening reception, because they were all curious
about.
What a
gorgeous transition.
Yes, yeah, it was wonderful. My mom and dad were able to make it back then, and I think my dad was a little surprised I was going into the photography business, because he was a banker. He ended up being a banker
right.
at Sandridge Bank in Highland, and he had a similar position as a vice president there. So anyway, it worked out really well. So I had a lot of support from the community, from my contacts at the bank, because I was a community guy. I mean,
right.
I was on a lot of boards, and I was president of the chamber at one time.
And we served on a board together.
Yeah, right.
Lakeshore Public Media.
Exactly. So when people came to the reception, they were curious about, what is this? You know, Pete's going into photography. Well, we want to go see this. And from that reception, I had a couple of people right away that said, you know, if you can do this type of photography, maybe you can do some photography for our company, which I didn't really have
right.
that expertise. But I soon learned. I figured, well, you know, if they're going to ask me, I'm going to try my hardest to do what they want. So NIPSCO wanted to do a full-page ad in the Times with a little girl turning a switch off, you know, on a wall.
This costs money, this doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. And I had to set up this whole thing. I had to go out and buy lights, and I had to figure it out, and I had to ask a lot of people how to do this. And then they sent an art crew in, you know, from Chicago, the artist group that is really difficult sometimes to work with, but they were great. And I learned along the way, you know, and they did, it did work out really well, that particular one. And then NIPSCO ended up hiring me for a bunch of other stuff. And so it opened a lot of doors, and I do work now for, like I say, NIPSCO. I do some of their aerial stuff. I do their events. I do some headshots. I work for BP, some of the steel companies from time to time. And I probably have about 25 clients, 25 commercial or corporate clients that I have. I call it a niche thing, because I am somewhat self, you know, not self, but somewhat semi-retired in a way. And so I want to control that group to the point where I know that I can give them 100% or more on what they want, and without being stretched out. So if I have 25 core people, a nice niche, I can take care of them beautifully, and then they pay me enough so I can go golfing and pay some insurance.
Yeah, you do a lot of golf things. Briefly, I want to get back to your father. He recently was honored by the town of Highland because he was the clerk treasurer in Highland for a period of time.
For 12 years, yeah.
Yeah, and he was recently recognized.
He was recently recognized by NERPSE.
Okay, yeah.
He was president of NERPSE some years ago, and had stayed in contact with that group throughout. He was one of the first presidents of that group that was not an elected mayor, because typically that's who ran that,
right?
Who chaired that board. But so he was highly respected, and we had the opportunity to go back. They gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award, and most of my family was there to receive it about a month ago,
right?
And it was quite a high honor. So, yeah, my dad was quite a guy. We learned a lot from my father and mother. They had a great team. He was a businessman. He went to work every day in a suit and carried a briefcase and wore wingtip shoes. And so when I was going to the third grade, I was carrying a briefcase and wearing wingtip shoes.
So you were destined for banking.
Yeah, I was destined for banking. I was ready to go.
Wow.
So we kind of joke about that, but you learn the traits and the of your parents very well. My mom was very supportive. My mom was more of the artsy side of, and she always appreciated everything that I did and was very supportive of me going into photography. My dad was happy for me as well. He says, you better make it work, you know, kind of thing.
Do they have your work in the house?
Pardon?
Do they have your work up in the
house?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah. They bought a few pieces. My mom would say, I don't want you giving me this. We're going to pay you for it. And so anyway, they have a couple of pieces, and but it's led to a lot of other things. I mean, I've done a number of exhibits. I work with interior design groups for placement of my especially my dunes photography and a variety of businesses, mostly hospitals, mm-hmm. clinics, dialysis centers. I just delivered a number of pieces, not that many, maybe about 10. For the new Franciscan Hospital in Michigan City, They have pieces in most of their facilities. The Community Hospital Group has Dunes Pictures in all their hospitals that they have, a Methodist hospital, and there's a few others. But
I appreciate them when I'm at the hospital to see something beautiful.
Yeah, it's soothing. I mean, the colors go great. It's green, and people like the scenes. It mm-hmm. calms them down. That's been a nice transition. I try and promote that through my website. DohertyImages.com. Doherty Images, DohertyImages.com. And whenever I get a call in reference to my photography, I have them go to that website because there's a number of galleries within the Dunes category that they can view. There's probably 200, 300 pictures, I would guess, and I need to update it. And also Chicago Lakefront. And I've done other special projects as well, golf courses and that type of thing. I work for a couple magazines from time to time, so I have other special projects that I've
done. I know you do a lot of golf photography besides golfing.
I do. I love golf. I've had the chance to work for Golf Now Chicago. They credential me to cover some major golf tournaments in the Midwest, so I've had the chance to do, you know, some of the real major ones, like the Solheim Cup, the BMW, the PGA Championships, things like that. And I've had a chance to meet some really great players, some of my heroes growing up. I've met and talked with Arnold Palmer. I've met and talked with Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, Sergio. I mean, there's a number of them. And when you have the opportunity to be credentialed, you can go into press conferences and you can actually ask them questions and, you know, talk to them a little bit so you can get a good feel. But they're very, you know, they're great people. And I've always enjoyed that. So the pinnacle of that was talking to Arnold Palmer. And my grandson was born on his birthday. So later on, I sent Arnold, when he was still living, a request to have him sign an autograph for my grandson.
Oh, yeah.
And he did. He did. Just a wonderful man. But you run into so many interesting people because you are the photographer there.
Right. Well, if you go to Pete's Facebook page, you can also see his grandkids growing up right there. I have a couple friends that are photographers, like worldwide. There's one who's he's a doctor, and he developed the bike seat for cyclists. And I've seen his grandkids grow up. And same thing with Pete. I've seen your grandkids grow up online.
Yeah.
So about your Facebook page, you had a picture of like Santa's Village. Is that a vintage image, or did you take that image?
That was a vintage image.
When you visit places, do you look for that? Because I love those postcards growing up, too.
That was a picture I had in my head because I remember it. We'd been there a number of times when it was older like that. But I like vintage pictures, and a lot of times I'll post something that I see that might have been online. But I do photograph a number of historical places and points of interest throughout Northwest Indiana. In fact, another whole series of photos that I have, it's called NWI Scenic, and I pretty much have photography of all the major cities and all the points of interest and things of special interest throughout our area, and I got to put that on the website. So a lot of times when I meet with potential clients that want to print pictures for walls and things like that in the business side or the corporate side, I'll bring that in and show them what I've got. And a lot of times they'll select something that might be particular, say like Whiting,
right,
or St. John or Schererville, that type of thing. So I work with the Northwest Indiana Forum on a lot of different projects that they have. They use my material, South Shore Convention Group.
I just have one of mine going in there.
Right.
Their current brochure. They wanted one of the Florida Tropical House. And,
right. I saw it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I stopped in there the other day to find out what they might need for the new Indiana Dunes National Park and what they're doing in terms of advertising and support of that. And they said, "Oh, thanks for stopping in. We're going to show you this. We got one of your pictures, and I saw yours too. It's in the same brochure."
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool. And one of my projects this year that I'm working on now is publishing another book. I did one, a pictorial book on Woodmore Country Club after they closed that down in early 2000s. And that went over pretty well, a self-published book. And then,
is that still available?
Yeah, it's available online through Blur. Okay. It's a Blur book. So nothing real fancy, but I don't have, 500 books in my closet either.
Which is probably good, because then it's right. Like, okay, this is not a good business
thing. Yeah, so it pays for itself. And I didn't do it to make money. I just did it because I wanted to do it. And I do get a little royalty every time I sell a few books. So I have sold a number of them. But coming up, I am doing one on the Indiana Dunes National Park. So I've been in contact with the Parks Service Group. And they've told me some of what they may or may not need. But so I've got the material for it. I mean, there's not a question. I've met with Ken Schoon.
Right.
Noted author and historian of...
Calumet Beginnings is his book. Right. An excellent book.
Yeah. So he's used some of my photography in some of his publications, or at least that one on the dunes, the Dreams of Duneland. And so anyway, I met with him the other day, too, to get some of his perspective. I want to do I'm going to call it, Indiana Dunes National Park Beauty of the Seasons is what my concept is. And it's not going to be, it's going to be mostly the beauty of, just right. Like the title says, and do a seasonal type thing with little blurbs of maybe some facts about the dunes. But it's not going to be historical. It's not going to be political. It's not going to be environmentally based. What I want people to see is the beauty. And sure. I don't want to get involved with the other stuff, although there'll be little tidbits of information in there to make to break up the photos, but so that's on the docket, and I've got a pretty good jump on that because all the material, all the pictures are really done, except for Pinhook Bog, but and all due respect, I know that's a pinnacle of what they are promoting, but it's really not all that pretty.
No, it isn't.
So they offered me, the National Parks Group said, well, you could probably use one of our pictures for that. And I said, I think I'll do that. And otherwise, you need a special permit to get out there and on a tour, on a guide, one of the rangers to kind of help you with that, I guess. But anyway, the book is my next project that I am getting kind of excited about.
You're listening to Pete Doherty on Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. And again, if you want to send us your information, artontheair@gmail.com. And again, I want to thank our sponsors who are supporting us, the Brouwer Museum at Valparaiso University, and Walt Breitinger, the great owner and landlord of the building. You're going
to
ask something.
I was going to, on your website, I noticed that the Urban Macro Gallery is your son's
yes,
work. So
yes.
Did both children go into the arts as well?
Actually, they both went into Purdue and got their degrees in communication and marketing. And so, yeah, they do have a bent toward the creative, and they're very, very good at it. The goal of any parent, is to have your son or daughter do better than you did, in your career. And I just thought it would take them longer than 5 years, They've done really well. My son works for Walsh Construction in Chicago, and he's the director of public relations mm-hmm. at a relatively young age. He's like 37. And that's a national company. And
right.
He does all the writing. He works with all the trade magazines. Does all the press releases, does all our social media, and he's doing great. And then he calls me in for some photography shoots that they might need.
Well, that's a pretty good inside track there.
Yeah.
Pete's managed to get a lot of inside tracks. I'm sometimes jealous. I'm like, oh, there's Pete's work. Gosh, yeah. He started after me. No, it's fantastic. He's done some great stuff around
yeah,
there.
Yeah, thank you. And it's a pleasure. But, it's kind of like when you're working for, the Walsh Group, you want to make sure it's really good, because I don't want it to reflect poorly on him at all. Of course, I never really thought about that until, the potential of something going wrong. But it's been great. And I've got to know the top people. I've done their headshots, the top echelons there, and it's been wonderful. And my daughter, she ended up working at an advertising agency in downtown Chicago called Starcom, a part of the Leo Burnett Group, mm-hmm. and that was a great start for her. One of her bosses left, went to Google, asked her to come over there, and so she went to Google for about 5 years, I think it is. And since has a little baby and decided to retire from Google, and which she can do. Her husband works for Google, so it's been a nice blend of things. But she's very, very creative, and they're very good public speakers. I mean, much better than I ever was, even though I had a position of that at the bank. But they've had some really good, great training at Bishop Knoll, especially at Bishop Knoll.
And they're very strong in speech, yes.
Yeah, very strong in speech, and there's just a whole environment there. And in college, I don't know how they both made it through in 4 years. I told them they better get out of there because I was running out of money.
Oh,
they made it in 4 years, and they both moved to Chicago initially and found some great opportunities. You know, nothing was handed to them. They worked hard at getting where they're at. So very proud of them.
Do you do your own website, or you?
No, I outsource. You know, I outsource just about everything in a sense because I want to stay creative. But I have a gentleman that does my website. I'll be in a little bit of a quandary with the book because if I self-publish it, I'll need to design it and do it. My son helped me out that greatly last time. It was a nice project for him. Like you mentioned, he also has the section on my website for Urban Macro. He loves that kind of photography. I bought him a Canon. The TI-6, I think it
was. TI-6, yeah.
Which is just kind of an entry level, but it takes great pictures. And he loves, you know, being in a city and taking all these unique shots. And I've actually sold, because of my website, I've actually sold a few of his prints and given him the money.
Oh, there you go. I know. One of the things I'm lucky to do is license some of the images from my site. They see it. And,
right.
Of course, a lot of times if a non-for-profit, they give you the sob story, so then you end up kind of discounting it a little bit because it's like, oh, we're a non-for-profit. I said, okay, well, instead of $100 or something, right. Whatever, I'll reduce it or something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, licensing becomes a issue. If it's a non-for-profit, you're right. It's sometimes you just kind of do it as best you can. Sometimes it's free.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like Andrean High School has three larger prints. They're images that they needed to put in their hallway, and they're like 6 feet wide by 8 feet tall. And they built basically a wall for each of these three with track lighting, and they had a wallpaper company that can reproduce, high quality images,
right?
And they look absolutely great. So I met with those people, and they, you know, they asked if they can get the same discount, you know, for the same charitable discount.
And what does Bishop Knoll think about your work being at Andrea?
You know, kind of like I haven't talked about it a whole lot.
I thought, oh, that we might have inter-Catholic rivalry between the schools there. So.
Right. Well, I call it same church, different pew, but it's
go.
Yeah, it's they all get along. But, yeah, I got to think about that now that Andrean's talking about moving, maybe do something there. And I would love to do something at Bishop Knoll. I've done a lot of their headshots and some other types of special events that they've had. They call me in for some of their state championships and things like
right.
that, where I'll do some sports stuff. It's fun. I've really enjoyed the transition from banking to photography. It's mm-hmm. always something new, something different. I've met some great, great people along the way. I've taken, I've been in an audience. I was the only photographer when Bill Clinton came in for a fundraiser. So I was able to take his picture. He actually asked me if I wanted my picture taken with him. And
did you?
I did. Oh, sure. Yeah. And then Vice President Biden was in. I think it was after or before that. I same thing. And got to be on a first-name basis with him because I was the only photographer. So he asked me to come over and take a shot. And I told my dad at the time, said, you know, this is the first time I had somebody of that caliber. I said, I'm really concerned about, you know, telling the vice president that he has to move because they were taking pictures in front of a backdrop and wanted to make sure he was in the middle. So I staged,
right.
You know, and they were doing kind of like the host family. And sure enough, first shot, he's not in the middle, you know. I says, Mr. Vice President, can you move two steps this way?
Right.
He says, yes, yes, sir.
But he's, you know, anyone in politics
yeah.
is aware of that imagery.
Yeah.
It's,
right.
it's very important.
Right.
So.
And he was really, really good about it. So But yeah, I've had those type of things. I mentioned the golfers and some people from the cabinet positions in Washington, some congressmen in Washington. Pete Visklosky has some of my work in his office in Washington and in Maryville. So it's all part of trying to market the Indiana Dunes and the beauty of it. And I'm a marketing guy, so I kind of understand the networking and the visibility part of that and the strategy behind it.
Do you use I know this, but I mean, you use Facebook and LinkedIn and what other social media?
Actually, that's all I use. Instagram to a very small degree. I need to probably do a little bit more there, but Facebook, yeah, definitely. I have actually on my personal site, which is where I put most of my stuff on Facebook. I also have a Doherty Images site on Facebook, which, you know, I'm just starting to use a little bit more, but they want to charge you some money for it, so I don't want to.
On Facebook?
Yeah, if it's a business one, they want to boost your.
Well, they always want to boost you, but I don't. What I do is I post stuff on my New Perspective site, and right. Then I link it to my personal page, and so I try to get people to
both
go
ways.
To there.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, I do my own website too.
Right, so. Right. And LinkedIn is I have probably about 3,000 contacts on LinkedIn, and I post just some of my best scenic pictures, and a lot of them are Chicago based.
Right.
And you'd be surprised how many likes I get. And some contacts on some possible
sure.
work and some possible reproduction of that. So
I know I just recently started really pushing an image a day on LinkedIn,
right.
Going through my library of things. And I've noticed that other artists are now using LinkedIn. There's art pieces, well, Brabant's on there almost every day, some of the local
right.
art. And I'm thinking, this might be the new place. I've not had very good luck with Instagram. I get maybe 300 likes on a post, which is
right.
not very much. And Twitter. I still post, but I don't get much response on Twitter.
Right. Yeah, I don't use Twitter, but it's interesting. The marketing strategies out there. There was a doctor who went into nature photography, and he's kind of a retired doctor. He's a very good photographer, and he. Been able to sell hospitals across the country on this idea of of therapeutic photography.
Oh, sure.
In nature in these hospitals, and they love them. So he's kicked me out of a couple opportunities out here locally. I had one big proposal, and I said, Pete, we were going in with 18, and now you got two, and we're using this guy out of New York or something. I said, oh my gosh, and they're completely different. Subject matter, I'm doing dunes and he's doing bugs or something. And but anyway, it's all part of trying to find your niche and the right context for it. So
anything you'd like to finally say? We got about a minute left here, so.
Well, I just appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk a little bit about photography. I mean, everybody's been so helpful to me over the years in becoming a little better at what I do, and I invite. Anybody that is looking at getting into photography at either a professional level or whatever, if they want to become better, to give me a buzz. I don't mind talking about it. I had a lot of people help me out from a mentor position, and I'd like to be able to help people if they want to go into the business. When I first went into the business, it was 2 years before I actually started it. I had a structure to implement my business name. Get the credit card, get a business checking account, get my business cards. I had it all set before I even jumped in the water.
That sounds great. Well, our guest today has been Pete Doherty from DohertyImages.com, correct?
Yes.
And you can also find him on Facebook, and we really appreciate you being here today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you both. Thank you.
And you've been listening to Art on the Air. We are heard every Friday at 11 a.m. for 1 hour, rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. Your hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we always like to thank Greg Kovach.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Greg.
He's our station manager here. If you're interested in being on our guest on our Art on the Air, go to artontheair@gmail.com. Also, send us your arts events. Next week, we're going to have George and Connie Castle. George is a well-known photographer, and Connie does not only photography, but she's an author and does art.
Artist,
yeah. Does a whole wide range of things. So anyway, we'll see you next week right here on Art on the Air 103.1 FM.
Aloha.